good morning and good afternoon, everyone. I'm Elliot Callan, CEO of Prosperity Financial Group, and I'd like to welcome you to Meet the Expert. Very exciting today. We've got Jean-Charles Boisson here. He is the king of Napa Valley wine. And so we're going to talk a little bit about wine. We're going to talk about the business of wine. We're going to talk about varietals. Wine and I are very passionate. We have a love affair with each other. As you hear from him and his unbelievable passion for wine and the winemaking industry, you'll understand why I share that passion. If you need to reach us, I'm at Elliot, E-L-L-I-O-T, at prosperityfinancialgroup.com. It's www.prosperityfinancialgroup.com. And my direct line is 925-314-8503. And you can ask us questions, not just about this episode, but any other ones having to do with business or wine and have some fun. And if you want to meet Jean-Charles or at least introduce yourself to his wines, we'll show you how to get to his wineries and just have a spectacular time. So let me welcome Jean-Charles. How are you?
Bonjour, Elliot. How are you? I'm delighted to be with you. And I prepared one of the best sparkling, the Passion, you know, from Los Carneros to have a toast with you. You're having coffee. This is not right.
I know. You know, I'm sorry. I'm a coffee guy, and I don't do any commercials for Juan Valdez or the country of Colombia, but I do for wine.
Hey, I think in that cup, you had some Cabernet. Something tells me that this is not coffee, not water. Maybe bubbles in that cup you just used?
That sounds pretty good, though. So, Jean-Charles, we were at your house this past Saturday night. I know people are viewing this, not today. They'll view it in the future. For the Billionaire's Ball, we had a spectacular time. It's a throwback to the 1940s of when people wore tuxedos and got dressed up Saturday night. And I wish they did that every Saturday night because it really makes the night special. So thank you for having us, hosting us, and introducing us to your home for more than once we've been there. But once again, reintroducing us to your home.
Well, thank you. And we were delighted to see you so well dressed up. You both came beautiful and extremely charming and sensual. I'm glad I saw you as well on the dance floor. And thank you for your great books. That was a wonderful gift. I'm delighted. And if your listeners do not know, Elliot is an amazing writer as well and has written numerous books. And he offered me one. And I'm going to read it on the plane in a few days on my way to France. So I'm excited. I'll be more intellectually savvy and financially clever.
Well, thank you, Jean-Charles. That's very kind of you. We live our lives with a lot of charity in here. And for people who don't know it, I'm president of our charity as well, A Brighter Day. It's a brighterday.info. And we can't help but mix what we do with business, charity, altruism, good taste, and so forth. So again, thanks for being part of that. So I have some questions for you because you are the king of Napa.
Well, thank you.
At this moment, I'm just in awe of your success. And I say that in the kindest of ways.
Thank you.
Of the word awe. So let's talk for a moment before we get into the wines and why you're drinking bubbly and what the other bottle is to your right with the beautiful label in front of the symbol and just in front of it, the business of wine, because you are at your core, you're not just a wonderful owner of wineries. There's wine to be made. There's money to be made in a world of wine. And you're not doing that for charity. So,
well, we love to contribute to charities. This is why we need eventually to make money in the business. What has been really unusual for anyone in the wine world is to have had the life I've had, because I was very fortunate, Elliot, very fortunate to have amazing grandparents and parents who are still alive today and who started the winery. So I was born, as well as my sister, in the living room where my parents started to make wine. So wine runs into my blood. Wine is part of my DNA. So I've made wine, as you know, since the age of 5, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old. I was making cuvées and, you know, so, you know, for me, wine is not really a business. It's really a lifestyle. It's who I am. It's what I am. It's how I express myself. It's really basically, you know, the expression of who I am. This is why, you know, I live the life I live, and I welcome you to my home, to all our wineries. They're yours as much as mine. I create to share, And this is what is so exciting. Wine allows you to, through this amazing beverage, gift of God, to be able to bring it to together in front of people and to have people cheer and be together and open up thanks to wine. So I use wine as my collective, beautiful gift that brings people together.
That's great. That's tremendous. So I want to tell you what we do and how this whole wine story got started. And I'll keep it short because you're more important than I am in this conversation.
No, it's a conversation.
So we have, and you've seen a picture of our wine room, and your team is going to be kind enough to pour for our wine outing on July 23rd, a Saturday.
Very excited.
At our home. And this will be our sixth event of Napa Comes to Lafayette, and we're thrilled to have you. But I'll tell you why I do that. In my business of being a financial advisor and CEO of Prosperity Financial Group, I advise people all the time in their retirement that they need to develop passions and hobbies. Yeah. Because the last thing you want to do is be a project person that what used to take an hour now takes 8 hours to do. And that's what your day is filled with. So you spent the last 4 months rebuilding your bathroom. And that's what your retirement is. And so I sat down with my wife about 10 years ago. And I said, you know, I advise people all the time as to develop great hobbies and great passions in retirement. And we talked about what ours would be. And we said, well, we love great wine. We collect it. Not at your level, but we have plenty of JCB and Raymond Generation wine. I've got two cases of unopened JCB that my wife's yelling at me that we're not drinking fast enough.
Take your time. It's never going to be bad. Unlike any financial product, it's a product of pleasure. So it never goes bad. On the opposite, if you have JCB or Raymond, it improves with time. Yeah. So there's appreciation in value and appreciation, obviously, in quality.
That's great. And we have about 1,000 bottles at this point. Wow. In a very pretty wine tasting room. I know there are people with 3,000 and 5,000 bottles who are like me, but I think I need to drink faster is what needs to happen here.
Well, if you invite me more often at your house, we will deplete it together.
I'll make note of that. We also learned that we like great food. We cook food. I'm an amateur chef. We go out for great food at wonderful restaurants. One of the ones you recommended that we went out to, Miller and Lux. And we went there because my wine is an avid watcher of your home videos that you make every single day. And she saw Miller & Lux, the owner, being interviewed. And that's how we ended up at Miller & Lux.
Yeah, with Tyler Florence, a great friend, a great chef. Exactly.
Yeah, wonderful food. But
I have a question for you, Elliot. How did you get to build such an amazing wine collection? I mean, 1,000 bottles is a lot of bottles. I've seen, obviously, pictures of your incredible wine cellar, which is phenomenal. How did you become passionate about it between finance and wine?
So they're related because they're both passions. And I'm passionate about finance. So about 15 years ago, give or take, I started to look for wine that I would like. And I was struggling at first because I was learning about why I kept drinking wine I didn't like. And if I didn't like it, it meant I couldn't really appreciate the flavor of it. It's a struggle I have with Pinot all the time, or very oaky Chardonnay. It just didn't feel right on my palate. Or for some Pinots, it didn't feel enough on my palate. And I didn't realize that I was really enjoying large tannic structured cabs or from Napa, or spicy Zinfandels from Sonoma. And in those days, they were spicy. Today, they're not really that spicy. They're more fruit forward. And so I didn't understand it. So I went on a quest to get better at what I was doing. To learn how to cook better food, to learn how to eat better food, and to learn how to drink better wine and share better wine with friends. Because like you in your home, we, COVID aside, we have always been entertainers in our home. We love to cook great food. I love to experiment on people. We love to share our wine. I don't collect wine for the sake of collecting. I collect wine to share with great friends. And so that just developed into its own collection.
And congratulations. I think you're doing it with the right positioning from your heart all the way to sharing and enjoying and, you know, all of that. So I commend you for this, because for me, as we make wine and I help sculpting wine, crafting wine, defining wine, I will have people like you in my mind, because I love when people open multiple bottles at dinner friends come over, they share. Wine is meant to be shared. And I always say to people, per course, open 2 or 3 bottles. So you see the flavor profile, you see what you like, and you share experiences and taste and sensory. So wine is all about that. And beyond everything else, it allows you to trigger conversation. So that's a fun tool that helps you to open many doors.
Well, thank you. Let me ask you a little bit about wine, if we can transition to what actually wine is, varietals. You have a very broad inventory of different varietals of wine. You can see I'm a little narrower in my taste than you are in yours. So let me ask you about your wines, because you've got a number of wineries, and you've got Buena Vista that I've been to, which is wonderful. I think it's the oldest winery in California. You've got JCB, which is a relatively young company in Yountville, right in the middle of downtown Yountville.
That's right.
An incredible crystal and art collection. You've got the one you just bought, Elizabeth Spencer, which has been around for many years, both Elizabeth and Spencer. That was a husband and wife team that's now part of your JCB collection. You've got Raymond Winery that's been around for, I think, 40 plus years now. And I understand you just broke away one of the lines from them, the Frenchie line, when I used to buy their Frenchie wine, is kind of my good bring to party wine, bring to somebody else's house wine. Yeah. So you got a lot of things. Tell me the difference in wines that our clients can understand, lots of people, because thousands of people will see this and they will say, Elliot, you're crazy not to be a big fan of Pinot. And other people say, wow, you good that you understand your taste. You understand structure and tannins and Cabernet, and you like some champagne. We had 2 cases of champagne that we just donated to our charity that was given away for Bubbles and Brunch breakfast to people. And they loved your champagne. And can I, I'm hopefully I can say champagne and not sparkling wine, because it's both. And let me just have you talk for a moment about varietals and why you're broad and why that's important and why I'm so narrow. Because other clients tell me, again, I'm crazy. And other tell me, nobody calls me brilliant, but they call me smart every now and then.
Yeah. Well, Elliot, I may refer to managing a financial portfolio. When you want to have fixed income, you want to have derivatives, you want to have crypto, you want to have stock, you may want to play with options, you may want to, you know, so you diversify. I was born making Chardonnay and Pinot, Burgundy. So it's my life and it's the essence of who I am. Then I branched out into Sonoma with Deloge Vineyards, made amazing Chardonnay, Pinot, and great Zinfandel. So I discovered Zinfandel. I was very open-minded to it. Today, I love it. And Buena Vista is the founder of Zinfandel in California. Then, you know, I branched out more into Napa Valley. So obviously, I went to those traditional Bordeaux grape varieties, you know, Cabernet, Merlot, Cabernet Franc, Malbec, and Petit Verdot. So I got very curious. So I think what is important, like it is in your business of financial products, is always to be open-minded and curious. You talk about champagne, Chardonnay, Pinot, typically. You could do a Blanc de Blanc, which is Chardonnay only. You could do Blanc de Noir, which is Pinot. And a Brut is the blend of both, which is what I'm having now. So I really feel what is important, like in your business of finance, is to be curious, to open your mind and to allow your mind to be welcoming diversity. It's the same as in food. One day you may be in the mood for Chinese food, next day for Thai food. And then the next day you may say, okay, let me go to Japanese food. Another time you're gonna go Argentinian beef. Another time you're gonna go all American food and California, very nice green food. And then you're gonna say, oh, I wanna go French, or I wanna go Italian, or I wanna go Indian. I think the world of wine is very similar to art, to food, as I just used as an example. You may like Impressionism, and you've seen at my house, I like Surrealism, or you may want to go into traditional antiques, or you may go to modern antiques, so modern furniture. So I think wine is the same, different moments, different experiences, different flavor profile, different food. You go with a pizza, you may go with a great Pinot, you may go with a great Sangiovese, you may go with a wonderful Zinfandel with more spice and pepper. So you choose the moment, the experience, the people we're with. I don't think we want to be monolithic in our approach. It's like saying, I only like stocks, or I only like high-tech stocks. I mean, you got to go traditional and buy maybe you know, traditional industries or logistic companies, and then high tech, and then you may want to go as well to luxury. That portfolio together makes you having that great return. And I think that's what is important.
Great. And we're talking with Jean-Charles Boisson, who's one of the kings of Napa at this moment, kings of wine in right. Napa Valley. He's with JCB and Raymond and Buena Vista and Deloche and so many more. And I don't want to forget that he's also the owner of the Oakville Grocer. And for many of us, that is a stomping ground and a stagecoach for entering the Napa Valley. And we all stop there and get something that's just absolutely yummy that you can't find anywhere else.
That's right. No, we love that place, Elliot. And thank you for mentioning it. You know, it's the oldest continuous operated store on the west of the Mississippi, founded in actually 1881. And what makes it so exciting is from pizzas to burgers to great delis to salad to sandwiches to great produce, great coffees, great wines, and a museum to Napa Valley. So in the Victorian house that you love so much, you can get a card, taste over 68 wines by the glass, and really experience the art of what Napa Valley has to offer within all the producers of Napa. So one-stop shopping, one collective place where you could taste every AVA of Napa Valley, 16 of the AVAs of Napa, and obviously discover the history of every one of them, from Sam Brannan to, of course, Grant to, you know, Young to all the great people who created this amazing Napa Valley. So we love bringing history to you with food, with wine, and obviously with the heritage of America that we really love.
So I know your family owns a Burgundy vineyard and winery, which is different in France. Wineries in California are the winery and the winemaking program are all right next to each other. And I know in most countries, that's not how it is. They're separated sometimes by miles, if not 50 miles sometimes apart. I have good friends who collect Burgundy. They probably have much of your family's Burgundy. And they really look down on American Pinot and said they would never drink it. And they go to Burgundy auctions. And some of those bottles, you know, go for crazy money. So what is the difference between French Burgundy, Burgundian style, and American Pinot, particularly your Deloche and other ones?
Well, I would suggest to your friends that most likely I may know and hopefully have our wines in their cellar to be open-minded to both, because I think the beauty of Pinot and Chardonnay in the Russian River, in the Sonoma coast of California, is quite amazing. And I think the difference is, one, we've been making Pinot and Chardonnay for thousands of years in Burgundy, so we have an extensive experience in that field, but it's a different flavor profile. Wine is very earthy, very deep, very intense, has that beautiful earthiness to it with ethereal characteristics. That's Burgundy. And in California, we may be more flamboyant, more fruit forward, with a deeper concentration thanks to the ripeness of the grapes here. So two different styles. But what I love to do, as we did this weekend together, is we have both and we try both. And at dinner, we dive into both. And that's what I love the most, is to be able to compare, contrast, enjoy both, and have a great time with both. So my recommendation to everyone is to really be open-minded to both, is to really be, inclusive of both. Because if you start the meal maybe with a great Sonoma Coast, a lot of food, a lot of flamboyance, a lot of seduction, you evolve with a Grand Cru or Premier Cru from Burgundy, which may be more austere, more earthy, a lot of depth and a lot of intensity. Both work very well in the meal and the progression of the meal. So for me, it's a journey. It's not one and not the other. I could have chosen, Elliot, to live in Burgundy, where I was born, to continue to build our Burgundy winery, which I'm doing anyhow, and never to come to California. But I thought both would complement each other, and one and the other equals three rather than two. So I want to have both. Why not? Why being exclusive when you could be inclusive?
What does Burgundian style mean, Jean-Charles?
Burgundian style is a technique of winemaking, which means sorting the grapes by hand for the red wines, going on open top wood fermenter, doing punch down, doing very slow maceration, and giving that very delicate, very emotional touch to the wine with long aging in barrels. And I think that's really what we mean when we talk about Burgundy style Pinot, to try to make a very sophisticated, delicate, very romantic, and very seductive wine. At the same time, for the Chardonnay, is to make it with the influence of oak, but not too much. So you keep the minerality and, of course, the intensity of the place. And finally, to be very terroir-oriented, which is the blend of the earth, the climate, and the plant, refer to the sense of place. That small village coming out with a wine like Vougeot, like Gevrey-Chambertin, like Beaune, like Pommard, being very specific to the area. So that's what Burgundy style is.
So the wine that you have, the wine bottles that you have, Jean-Charles, and this is great what you're saying. And if somebody needs to reach me, it's Elliot, E-L-L-I-O-T, at prosperityfinancialgroup.com, or the website Prosperity Financial Group, www.prosperityfinancialgroup, and 925-314-8503. And if you want to drink wine with us, give me a call and we'll meet you at Raymond or one of Jean-Charles' other wineries. And,
of course.
And we'll try that wine. So I want to talk to you about some of the wines that I know that I'm intimate with now, and why I'm intimate with them. And one of those bottles is to your right as well. So I've learned that the JCB Lounge, I like number one, number 10, and the Surreal. I've learned at Raymond that my favorite is Stag's Leap and Generations.
Yeah, for sure. You have good taste. And you're talking about the Top Guns, Elliot.
Yeah, I guess my taste has got. You know, when I first started to buy these high-end wines, they were $85. Now they're $250 and $300, and everything's gone up. And I think somebody told me the other day they bought a 79 or an 85 Screaming Eagle for $6,000. And I'm like, oh, wow. How do you even drink that? I don't know how to open that.
Now that's $1,000 a glass. That's a little expensive for me, too.
By the way, what makes that particular varietal? Because it's kind of like playing Pebble Beach. You'd love to play when I'm buying you the round of Pebble Beach. You don't want to spend it yourself. And that's what I think of Screaming Eagle. If you want to buy it for me, I'll drink it, but I would never buy that on my own.
Well, you know, that's called elasticity of demand, right? It's a basic economic rule. The more demand you have, you know, there's only one way to play with supplies, to allocate by the amount of the bottle and the price points to make sure that you optimize. So I feel we need to remain reasonable in wine prices, because I want to make sure with the wines we make, you see, the Surrealist is around $500 a bottle. 100-point wine, very reasonable for a 100-pointer. Number one, number 10, a 98, 99-point wine, and they're $300 a bottle. So we're not going crazy. Even Generation, 99-point wine is only $165 a bottle. So we've been very reasonable, Elliot, pricing our wine. Look at Chateau Buena Vista that you love, $200 for a bottle of wine, 98 points, Parker, and Wine Spectator. So, you know, when we talk about high points, we love ourselves to want to make sure that you buy the wine and you drink them. When you divide by five, because there's five glasses in a bottle of wine like this, you don't spend necessarily an arm and leg, and you don't feel every sip you have, you know, you're spending your entire savings. So for me, I like to be reasonable. I want people to drink the wine, to share the wine, even if it's 100 points. And even, I mean, the Surrealist could be $2,000 a bottle. We make 6,000 bottles, we would sell them as much. I want to keep it reasonable so you drink it and you enjoy it. On top of it, look at this. We put a jewelry on top of each bottle. The bottle is clear. It becomes a decanter. It has a glass top finish on top. I mean, look, all of them decorated differently. This is a great skull, just been released. I mean, all those wines fetch amazing scores, and they're meant to be collectibles. We were the first one to actually put jewelry in the world of wine on the bottle. I'm very excited about it because, I mean, look at this. Isn't it sexy and cool? And you want to have it. So I think that's the whole point of, you know, winemaking and really providing for you an amazing experience and without, again, having secondary thoughts after buying a bottle of wine and opening it. I go to so many cellars, Elliot, where I see thousands and thousands of bottles at $1,000 a pop, and people never open them because they say, wow, I spent so much money. I'm having secondary thoughts opening the cork. And I'm of the school, we open the wine, we drink it, we celebrate, we live life. Like we did on Saturday night, didn't we have fun?
That's what wine should be about. Great food, great wine. And don't forget, first and foremost, great friends, because that should be number one.
Exactly. And wines bring us together. It has that romantic, luxurious, sophisticated way of bringing people together without necessarily getting you too high too quickly. You could sip, you can enjoy. It's a cultural experience. It's a monument of culture. And that's what I love about wine. You talk about architecture, history, gardening, art, you know, decoration, designs, fashion, beauty, emotions. All the topics are summarized in this glass of wine. And it's a cultural experience. And that's why I'm a big fan.
So in the business of winemaking, because you've got a gorgeous bottles on Surreal, you've got some beautiful flavors. From a cost standpoint, is it like everything else? The profit margins are so much larger on these wines for the winery. And yes, it takes more, but it doesn't take four times the amount of money to produce it. But there's more profit because it's just a better wine.
Well, indeed. So I think the cost of wine, obviously, on a bottle like this is very high. And specifically when you start to put this fancy bottle and this unbelievable jewelry. So, you know, we want to make sure that as well, an expensive bottle of wine like this one at $500 a bottle, the guest, the consumer have an amazing bottle in their hands. Besides the liquid itself is everything else. So we don't cut corners. We love when you have a full experience. It's like this glass I'm having. You have them at home. It's the Baccarat glasses. It's the one we designed with Baccarat, the most historical crystal maker in the world of crystal. And look at this. This is all about luxury. This is the red wine glass. Listen to the sound. This is the bell of Lafayette Church or temple or mosque or whatever your religion is. This is the finest of the finest. So again, we want people to have the finest. And this is why the attention to details, the cost of wine is important. And you know, building the experience, this is really what we're all about. And this is where we have so much fun in it.
I'll tell you a quick funny story, because I'm a fan of wine glasses, because I know it really makes a difference. Tammy and I, my wife and I, went to a food and wine pairing not too long ago in Sonoma County. And they ordinarily, yes. They ordinarily do a great job. They serve most of the red wine in white wine, smaller glasses. And I said, and I know glasses well after the, why are you doing that? And I asked that question, you know, the inquiring mind question that people don't want to be asked. And I said, why are you doing it? He said, well, the winemaker felt that the smaller the glass would keep the aroma more in, and you don't want to let the aroma out too quickly, which is the opposite of what everything I've been taught is let the red wine breathe, let it out, let it fill the room and want you to eat more. And,
absolutely. A wine is like a human being. We have to realize that an amazing wine like this vintage, 2017, 2018, have been captured in the bottle for at least a few years. And specifically, if you open an older vintage, for maybe 8 to 10 years. So the wine needs to breathe like us. We need to open up. We need to oxygenize the wine. We need to allow the air to come in order to break out the molecule and bring a maximum amount of bouquet. Bouquet is the aroma, the aromatic expression of the wine. So this is why I think a big glass is very important. And a big glass, highly open at the base and closed on the top. So as you bring your nose, it funnels all the aroma to your nostril. And then you can inhale nicely. And then you swirl. And then you drink. So you want actually a large container, not too tight. This one is meant for champagne and sparkling wine. This is why it's a little smaller.
I think that glass, by the way, I believe it's called a tulip shape.
Yeah.
Relatively new out there versus a Pinot, just kind of an open bowl shape. What's the difference between those two?
That's right. So this one, luckily, is meant to be all in one. This is why I call it the Passion Collection, the one and only. So I've designed it in a certain height, certain proportion that it fits all. So I recommend if you want anything in this world, it's the Passion Collection. It's $180 a glass, so it's expensive, but it lasts forever. It's crystal. So it's the finest, not glass. Crystal is the finest historical clear container that will bring any liquid, whether it's champagne, wines, distilled spirits. And this shape is the ultimate because it has that tulip with the rounder, bigger shape. So it combines both in one. So this is the one, obviously, Elliot, I recommend you have in your dining room. Not that you don't. I'm sure you do already because you're a man of taste and you're a man of style. So I'm coming to Lafayette to see you. I hope we'll drink in Passion Collection.
That sounds great. I'd love to have you for dinner. That's terrific. You know, you have some unbelievable collections of art and crystal.
Yes.
And for people that want to see that on display, there's a crystal room in Raymond, but more importantly, at the JCB Lounge, you have some magnificent crystal pieces there. Tell us about this.
Yeah, so this is, Raymond is a great place. Buena Vista has a huge collection in Sonoma as well as in First Street, Napa Valley, and in Napa. You know, we have a new tasting lounge named, you know, Chateau Buena Vista, where you have an incredible display there as well. The point for us is always to bring out beautiful crystals so you understand how wine could be decanted, aerated, and served. And I'm going to show you one of the decanters. You can pass me those two, thank you. Of the wine we have here, those beautiful decanters. And I've designed two that are very, very important. And Anna is bringing them to me. So we can really look at what creates an amazing decanter. And this is at the JCB Lounge in Yonville. You could buy all the Baccarat, Lalique, and Saint-Louis decanter, as well as Mosher. But look at those babies. This is where you carry out the wine. So this is the actual container. Here we go. You aerate the wine for like half an hour, 45 minutes, and you serve it in this beautiful decanter in the glass. What I'm doing right now. So you have one for red wine and white wine and one for champagne. This one is made for champagne or sparkling wine. This has been featured in Run Reports, Wall Street Journal, all the top magazines that you can imagine because Vogue, we've been really having a tremendous amount of press on it because this is the first and only in champagne. So you want to carafe your champagne to aerate it, and same with the red wine.
So what makes it champagne?
To break out the molecular structure of the bubbles, to have less bubbles, but very refined so they dance on your palate. That's what we look for.
Okay. Let me. As long as we're talking about aerators, so I've been told that if you're drinking wine older than, call it 1980, don't aerate it, you'll kill it. And then other people have the exact opposite opinion. Always aerate your wine. What's the right way to do this?
Well, there's no systematic rule. I think it really depends which vintage is. So if the vintage is still very fruity, very robust, like an 82, 84, I will decant. I would not decant to 69. Sometimes I could because it's still big, but I would not decant to 67. I would not decant to 64, but I may decant to 61. So it's vintage specific. The younger it is, I recommend the more you should decant because you want to aerate, you want to give it the volume of the air. So there's no systematic rules. For me, I love decanting. One, it's beautiful. And two, for the reason I gave, aerate your wine, give them air, make them feel comfortable. And you can decant it for 10, 15 minutes. And then, of course, serve it so you don't lose the aroma.
So Jean-Charles, let's go back to again to the business of wine, if we could.
Yeah.
Because I'm a big fan of what you do, and obviously I'm a fan of your wine, or I wouldn't be buying it.
Thank you.
And we've turned many people now onto your wineries, one or the other.
And we're very grateful. Thank you so much for that, Elliot.
Yeah, you're very welcome. But I want to talk to you about the business of the marketing side of wine, because it's no good to make great wine and no one buys it. It's not good to be the best kept secret in my industry, financial services, or your industry, wine and winemaking. That's You know, people go out of business with great products all the time.
That's right.
And you are a marketing machine. I'll call you a marketing genius.
No, you're very kind, but not really. And just do what we love to do, you know. The passion is what drives us.
Well, you're doing a lot of good things. So if somebody wanted to learn what you're doing, how often to follow what you're doing, because you're integrating on your online program, and maybe you can give us the website for that too. You're integrating food, health, wealth. I saw a yoga class. Excuse me. My wife, like I said, is an avid.
Thank you.
Follower of yours.
Classes, food classes. We do jewelry. As you know, I'm wearing it today. See one of my jewelry pieces. Yeah. So I think people could go on to Boisset, Boisset collection.com or JCB collection.com, which is my personal website. And they could go on JC_Boisset on my Instagram or Facebook, or they could follow our JCB Live and all the videos we do and all the engagement we do, because I think what is fun is to be part of a community. And what your wife, who I adore, and she was beautiful, by the way, this weekend.
Thank you.
Beautiful, beautiful outfit. Is loving is to be part of the energy of what we do. Wine, fragrance, jewelry, food is what I love to do. So on our website, you could be part of all of it and certainly follow us. OakvilleWineMerchant.com or Oakville Grocery on Instagram as well is an amazing one, where you could see a lot of videos, a lot of cheese discovery, and so forth. So we want to educate people. We want to transfer and pass the little we know to them, so we get all inspired. This is the fun of it.
Well, perhaps in the fall, early fall, we can do a cheese and wine pairing somewhere at one of your locations.
I would love to. You come over, we'll have a lot of cheese. We could choose the region or the country of origin you want. We'll pair it with wine. We'll have a great time. We'll gain weight. No, you don't gain weight with cheese, actually. And we'll have a lot of fun.
Well, we did. I want you to know, you don't know this, because we threw a party many years ago. You know, COVID had just kind of made us all lose a little bit of track of time here. There are two lost years for the world. But we ran a party in the Red Room at Raymond.
Oh, thank you.
We did that years and years ago. And it was just a wine tasting and a great day and a great afternoon. And I think and we'll be attending your Generations opening soon.
I hope so.
Our clients love these things. We did two virtual wine tastings last year. We sent out food. We're talking about doing a virtual cooking class with wine again this year. And I think a cheese, I'm a little bit of a cheese lover. I had a French teacher in ninth grade that introduced us to cheese, and I've never stopped eating it. And hopefully I don't die of heart disease from all of it.
I know you won't. Don't worry.
But it's just such a great pair. So I'll keep you posted on that. Let me ask you about the food and wine pairing, because in America, it's nothing like it is in France. When Tammy and I went to Bordeaux and we had a discussion about how much wine will we buy that's in our budget?
That's right.
And we came up with a number that we will not buy more than 9 cases of wine while we're there.
Yeah.
And we didn't. We didn't come even close to that, because the French, again, wine places, were telling us, you know, the problem with you Americans is you like to drink wine by itself, which I do. My wife does. We don't need food. We don't care if we have food with our wine. We like the wine. And we pick out our wine before we pick out our food, not our food and then the wine.
I love it.
And I know you, the French folks, I know you're from France, and I don't want to minimize or belittle your heritage there, but they made fun of us because they pick out the food and then they pair it with wine. And they said, we don't really know what we're doing. And that's why we're not Bordeaux lovers or Cabernet and Cabernet Franc lovers and Petit Verdot lovers, because we don't know what we're doing basically on a global scale. So are they right and I'm wrong? Am I right? Is there room for both of us?
Oh, absolutely. I think either way, depending on how you enter into the equation, I think the fun part is I love the fact that you pick your wine first and then you say, okay, around it, I'm going to constitute this incredible meal and this food and wine pairing. I think it's fun. You know, vice versa, I think it goes both ways. I think what is exciting is, again, to order multiple bottles of wine and to treat wine as a food ingredient and to treat wine as a flavor profile that really complements anything. And, you know, to go wild, like tonight, we're going to have a vegetarian dinner of all things because our friends coming are vegetarian. And I've picked like 5-6 bottles of wine that we're going to have that I think represents well the type of food we're going to have, but I'm going to let them choose because who is to know that a wine, a Pinot or Cab will go better with this. So I think as well, it's fun to bring diversity to the table and pick. It's like having multiple dishes. So to be open-minded, to be creative and to create with both that you bring to the table.
Well, that's great. You know, I said earlier in the show that we're doing Napa Comes to Lafayette on Saturday, July 23rd.
Yes.
With some of the wines from your organization. And we haven't picked them all out, but we'll do a pairing on Mix and Match and have a little bit of fun that day. We tell everybody to bring a dish that you wish to share and don't be afraid to mix it. But we have, I think last year people purchased about $15,000, give or take, of wine, which was double the year before or the 2 years before that because of COVID. And then the wineries and yours has been so charitable with a brighter day. Which is wonderful, but I'm looking forward to it. So if people like your wine and they can't make it to Napa or Yountville, and they want to taste your wine out, come to our house on the 23rd, be in touch with us because we love your wine enough to have you there. And we love the personality that you bring to it because your wine, like you, Jean-Charles has a personality, have multiple personalities. You probably have multiple personalities too.
Yeah, of course.
But that's a show. That's a topic for a different show.
How many times have I been reincarnated or resurrected? You know, I believe in that.
But the nice part about your wine is it's so broad and it's varietal, your wine family, that I could say, I like, as you call bubbly, but I like champagne, but I can't stand Pinot. I like champagne, but I can't stand Petit Verdot. I hate champagne. But I love Cabernet. There's a spot for all of us.
That's right.
And I don't just have to be broad. I can be narrow or I can be broad. I could say I like steak and I could do ribeye and strip and filet and so forth. Or I could be more like I am. And that says, look, those are all very good. But I prefer to have this mouth-watering, melting filet mignon. And that's how I look at wine also. I prefer to have that great wine that's in front of you. And a 1 out of 10 and whatever, because it's so mouthwatering. It's so big. But I know the people that I'm drinking wine with don't have to share my taste.
That's very true. And this is the reason why we make such a broad range of wine from Burgundy to the south of France. So Burgundy, Beaujolais, Jura, you know, Rhone Valley, south of France, Napa, Sonoma, sparkling, champagne. Why? Because we want to have a lot of people at the table. And, you know, if you have a different taste, it's okay. If you have diverse flavor profile, it's okay. The same reason why, Elliot, if you have a different skin color, you have a different religion, if you have a different belief, it's all okay. I want to make sure that everybody belongs to the table. It's not about monolithic thoughts. It's about being as diverse as inclusive. If you like Rhone Valley and Syrah and Grenache, be my guest. If you like Zinfandel, be my guest. We'll have something for you. If you like Pinot and Cabernet, we have something for you. And that's the fun of it. As long as it's well made, made within integrity, with discipline, with talent and sophistication, that's what we like.
Good. Let me ask you a Chardonnay question, Jean-Charles, and I know we're running out of time here. And that is that the difference between, because I've spoken to people who only like whites, and I'm trying not to look down on them for only liking whites here.
No.
As a red wine lover. But I know there are three whites that I think, maybe four whites that I think of in that world. I think of a minerally white.
Yeah.
I think of a buttery white. I think of a oaky white. And I think of a Burgundian white, style white. I think of them as four very distinct flavor patterns. And I think for me, I know because as a not great Chardonnay person, I'm much more of a buttery. I call it my wimpy way of drinking white wine is make sure it's buttery, malolactic acid and all that stuff. But what is the difference between them to white wine drinkers?
I think you've described it beautifully. So you have the Chablis style Burgundy, maybe, which is, you know, no oak, very mineral. You know, it's in a soil that used to be ocean, so very Carmarthen, meaning very oyster beds. So very mineral. You have more limestone and a calcareous soil, which could have that beautiful flintiness with a little bit of oak. So little vanilla, little tones of floral. And then you could go to the Loire Valley, which is very floral, the Napa Valley Sauvignon Blanc. And then you could go to that very buttery, rich, fully malolactic style that you've described. And it's all good, but they all fit on a spectrum. One is more vibrant, the other one is more vivacious, and the other one maybe richer, denser. And it's fine. You know, one you would like it with sashimi, the other one you may like it more with curry or Indian food, and the other one you may like it more with a sole meunier, and the other one you may like it with a trout, or the other one you may love it with, you know, roasted chicken. So I think it's all good to love it all. We cannot just be one way. We need to always be open to different flavor profile and then find what you like. And then from there, go and be again, very curious. I think it's important not to just say, okay, I only like this and that's all I like and that's all I want. I think keep trying.
So Jean-Charles, if people want to learn more about your wine collection, your wineries, your family of wine, your Oakville Grocer, your Crystal, yep. Best place for them to go is where?
My Boisse Collection, MYBOISSET collection.com or JCBCollection.com, JCBCollection.com, which is my first name, JCBCollection.com. On those two websites, you can have a global idea. And then if you want to zoom in into a given winery, you go to Raymond Vineyards, Buena Vista Winery, Elizabeth Spencer, Deloge Vineyards, Bouchard, and then all the French. So all of that is hosted under Boisse, the BIBOISSET collection.com.
So Jean-Charles,
thanks for asking. I'm thrilled.
Oh, we're thrilled that you're part of this. We're always glad to bring you some business and we're glad when you bring it to us. So
we love what you do at Prosperity Investments and obviously you as an individual for the wine world and how great those interviews are and how charismatic you are and to bring more people in the world of wine in such a great way. So I love the fact that you include in your financial return wine because isn't wine giving you the highest return on investment?
But we also include you quite a bit in our charity, A Brighter Day, or brighterday.info, because we have a golf outing in July. We have a big gala, and you have been very generous for many years, and your organization has, that help us raise money. But also, because of that, we've touched thousands of families to help them with stress and depression and stopping teen suicide. So thank you for that as well.
Always. And Elliot, what is so cool is to be friends, to know your lovely wife and family, to soon go to your house in Lafayette. As a Frenchman, we love Lafayette, you know. He helped kick out the British out of the United States and then master the independence of the country in 1776. So, you know, Lafayette is a great place. We're very proud of what you do for charity and we're delighted to be part of it. And thank you so much for having us on your show. This means a lot to us and to bring more people to our world. So thank you.
Well, thank you. And if you'd like to reach me, I'm at Elliot@prosperityfinancialgroup.com and Prosperity Financial Group and 925-314-8503. We've been talking with Jean-Charles of JCB and he's given you the best ways to reach him. And if you want to know which wine I like best and where to go first, give me a holler. Thanks, everybody. Have a great day.
Thank you, Elliot. All the best and cheers.